The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
It sure is. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio, streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Jam-packed today. Jay Inslee on The View and Rachel Maddow. I will fact-check the governor coming up at 12:30 this afternoon. Also, at 1:30, we're going to talk to a young mom in Ballard. She's trying to get her first grader off to school when she noticed the drug vagrants had broken into her garage. Her husband was out of the country, and she said it was just absolute terror. So we will hear her story. But as you know, the reason we have so many drug vagrants, and I went around with Prosecutor Dan Satterberg about this last week, I'm absolutely convinced we are on the wrong path. We're legalizing drugs. We're spending $100,000 per homeless person per year, and the vast majority of those on the streets, they don't want help. They don't want to avail themselves of services, of drug counseling, of mental health counseling, of job training, of housing. They just want to steal to get their next fix, and that's all their life is about. And so what do? We'll legalize drugs. Personal possession amounts. We'll send the word to the rest of the country that this is the easiest place to be a drug addict. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. Well, that's what we've done with the drug vagrants around here. And it's what we're doing with our kids. Let me get to our top story.
The Big Lead, top story.
Man, this is really sad. The number of deaths from alcohol, drugs, and suicide in 2017 hit the highest level since they've ever started collecting this data, according to the Centers for Disease Control. National rate of death from alcohol, drugs, and suicide rose to 46.6 deaths per 100,000 people. That's a 6% increase. Suicides went up 4%. And on it goes. How can that be? When we have spent the last 25, 30 years with a new model of how we raise kids. And, you know, the joke when I first started on the air 20 years ago was the every kid gets a trophy thing. Sixth place soccer team. Trophies at the postgame party or the postseason party. Something I would never allow on the teams that I coached. You know who gets a trophy? Champions. Nobody else has earned it. Nobody else deserves it. But it'll build self-esteem. And then at school, we have safe spaces, and we have schools spending as much time on social justice initiatives as they do on math and rating. Schools are all about inculcating a mindset, brainwashing kids about global warming, about gun control, inspiring unbelievable levels of fear in our children. You're going to get shot up at school if you don't tell your parents to vote to lock up all the guns. You will be shot and killed. But schools statistically are about the safest place in the country for a child to be. Doesn't matter. We'll use our kids as pawns in adult social justice causes. And so you have a bunch of kids who think the world is going to end in 12 years because of climate change. You have kids who are nervous wrecks because they are absolutely convinced, again, by adults who are using the children to manipulate their minds to try to make a social justice cause. Kids are convinced they're going to get mowed down at school by a gunman. Then they get to college, where we have safe spaces. And if somebody says something that hurts your feeling, It's not that you're too sensitive. It's that they are a horrible, hurtful person. And we will no longer tolerate that on college campuses. Nobody will be allowed to say anything that makes people sad. And what have we gotten for all of this? The highest alcohol, drug, and suicide death rate since record keeping began. So let's connect the dots here. Why is that? Well, there are a bunch of reasons. One is the fracturing of the families, the number of single-family parent homes, kids growing up without a dad or a mom. That's not an indictment of single moms and dads, many of whom I know who have done a fantastic job. But it's tougher. And I essentially grew up without a dad. He was around once in a great while. But it's tougher. But it's not the type of thing that's impossible to overcome. So could it be that the more we coddle our children, the less equipped they are to cope with life? And that's why so many of them are turning to alcohol and drugs and committing suicide? Could it be that the way we've been raising children for the last 25 years or so has been counterproductive? Now, I know the social justice activists, they are bristling right now. They're furious that I would dare compare their climate activism, their gun control activism to kids and young adults who are unable to cope with life. But you have to start asking the question, why? Why, when we've been told consistently that if every kid gets a trophy, it'll build their self-esteem. And if they have such high self-esteem, they won't turn to drugs and alcohol. But that's not true. Either the trophies did not build the self-esteem, or there's a tremendous disconnect between the phony self-esteem of worthless platitudes and the reality of real life. Because the reality is, you got to find ways to battle through, and you have to fight and compete and outwork. And that's how you accomplish great things. Now, I'll give you one more example. Hey, go to story number four in the big lead here. But I'm just telling you, what we're doing with our kids is leading to record numbers of people dying from suicide, alcohol, and drugs. This is not working for our kids. They're turning into young people who cannot cope with life. I'll give you a perfect example. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
So a new study from the city of Seattle revealed that 95% of households have internet access in the home. But people living in low-income communities are 5 to 7 times more likely than the average citizen to not have adequate internet access. Jenny Durkin says that access to technology is a race and social justice issue. We must strive to make sure that all our communities have access to high-speed internet and the skills they need to compete in our constantly connected world. Okay, so what do we do about that? Well, according to Jenny Durkin, the city of Seattle should spend a fortune in tax dollars to lead the way on digital inclusion. She wants the taxpayers to pay for everyone's internet access. Why? Why? Well, because of what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. Because they need to take care of everybody, and then that will raise their self-esteem, and then they'll be on an even keel with everyone else, and it's all bull. Look, having grown up quite poor, I'll tell you what I didn't. The 60s, 70s version of no internet access. Every single one of my friends had color TV. Oh, man. I loved going to my friends' houses to watch TV because all we had was a crappy 19-inch black and white. Ugh. It was awful. Now, what would the solution have been? Should government have bought us a color TV? No. The solution, as I figured out many years later, was if I want something, I got to go to work. So I started working when I was 12 at Food Town on Sunset Hill. And I have had a job every day of my life since then, since I was 12, because it was the only way I was going to get the stuff that my friends and their families had. You know what we should do to all the families that don't have internet access? We should go to them and say, you need to get a part-time job. There are lots of them. This is a great economy for job seekers. You go work 20 hours a week, fast food, in Seattle, $15 an hour, you'll gross $300 a week, $1,200 a month. Take home over $1,000. You could use a little part of that to already have a full-time job. Hey, now you have a 40-hour-a-week job. You can work a second job if you're working 40 hours a week. If the full-time job, if the 40-hour job doesn't allow you to pay for internet, then get a 20-hour-a-week job in the evening and on weekends. I have to take care of the kids. Have the kids get a 20-hour-a-week job if they want internet access. Make sure you put porn blockers on all the kids' internet access, for crying out loud. But instead, it's, no. Government has to tax other people to get you internet. You want another solution? Go to the library. They have free internet at the library. I give a couple $100 a year in my property taxes to the library. But the more we have gotten to, as I said at the beginning, that government will make sure we enhance your self-esteem, we'll start teaching you in pre-K that gender is fluid, no confusion in minds there. We'll tell you that you're going to get gunned down at school. We'll tell you that the earth's going to end in 12 years if your dad drives a pickup truck. Or your mom. You don't have internet? Oh, we'll tax somebody else and we'll give it to you. It's not working. We got to start empowering our kids. We got to stop scaring the bejeebers out of them with phony adult causes. We've got to teach them the merits and the nobility of working for what you want. Achieving it yourself. We're going in the wrong direction. Whether we're talking about drugs on the streets of Seattle, the alcohol, drug, suicide rate, particularly with millennials, but goes to all ages, these stats. The more government has decided that it's going to make everything bubble wrapped for us, the more we figure out that we can't cope when it's time to go out in the world on our own. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
And then you have this socialist mob that was at Seattle City Hall yesterday. So here's the thing. I'll give Jenny Durkin some credit now. So Jenny Durkin has a nominee for Human Services Department Director. And he's been doing the job on an interim basis, Jason Johnson, for about 9 months. A lot of people think he's doing a good job. In fact, one of the things he's doing is he says, hey, if Cher and Wheel, those agencies that are ripping off the taxpayers, that are all about the homeless industrial complex and not solving people's homelessness issues, he's saying maybe we should work away from those models because they're not working. In other words, this guy dares say what I've just been saying. If something's not working, maybe it's time to take our money and put it elsewhere. instead of the rackets that is the homelessness industrial industry. Oh, but they have done a great job, groups like Sharon Wheel, of brainwashing the socialists who are there with Sawant. And so they were down just shouting down the council yesterday.
I said 249. At 249. Okay. Sir, if you don't stop, then I'm going to have you removed.
No, they're little babies. They're people who have never grown up because they've never had to grow up because they have people like Sawant saying, vote for me and I will run your life for you. And so they're like four-year-olds, these socialist alternative mob members.
When our homeless neighbors are under attack, what do we do? When our homeless neighbors
okay,
are
sir,
under
please
attack,
have a seat.
What
We're
do
done.
We do?
Shut off the mic.
That's right.
So this mob went on throughout the meeting yesterday. And I tell you what, I don't know how anybody would want to be a Seattle City Council member. Deborah Juarez, she's sitting there trying to encourage people to settle down. But you got to just deal with nut jobs every second of every day if you're on the Seattle City Council.
Okay, so can I just, Jody, before we start the time, there is a reason why I talked about us acknowledging that we are an indigenous land and behavior. I would hope that everybody would listen to what other people have to say. This isn't a rally. It's public comment. And everybody has a right to be heard, even if you disagree with them. Democracy cannot live in a swamp if we don't like each other. We at least have to listen to each other. And that's all I'm asking you to do, is to listen for 1 minute.
I like that. Democracy cannot live in a swamp if we don't like each other. We can live in a swamp if we like each other. Here's a social alternative guy calling Durkin a bully because she wants to... by the way, this guy's greatest sin isn't that he wants to take money away from Sharon Wheel unless they can show results, but he's a white guy. And that's what they really hate, is that he's a white guy.
On the other hand, it's not surprising given the corporate backers that Mayor Durkin has made herself accountable to. Her actions amount to nothing less than bullying, and to defeat a bully, we have to stand up. I'm really inspired to see so many people here today doing just that.
So they're standing up to a guy who wants to reform and says, maybe the path we're on hasn't been working. Here's another socialist alternative guy.
I think that's absolutely atrocious. I think it's the type of bullying, intimidation tactics that I would expect from Donald Trump, from Jeff Bezos. And frankly, I'm not surprised that a mayor who took $350,000 from Amazon would stoop to that level. But I think that our council members have a responsibility to say no.
So you got a bunch of brainwashed adults that have the thinking ability of children who shout down the city council meetings, and more of the sewage that is Seattle government just perpetuates itself because Sawant still has a toehold. And shame on those voters who put her in there and the rest of the socialists who are part of this council. That is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Woo! And after Ursula checks the news, Jay Inslee on with the ladies of The View. Pinch me. It's my greatest dream coming true. Audio next on The Dory Monson Show. Oh, all the cosmic tumblers fell into place when Jay Inslee walked onto the set of The View. Suddenly, I knew that all was right in the universe. I knew we were all going to be okay. And so I went through the whole Inslee interview. And I'll repeat what I said yesterday. He's looking good. He looks good for a presidential run.
Mm-hmm.
He would have
talking about physically good.
Physically,
okay, yeah,
yeah, yeah. He looks
like he's in shape.
He's in shape, and he looks like a perfect presidential, Democratic presidential candidate. If this was 1998 or before, but the Democrats are never in a million years going to nominate a white man in 2019. But he looks the part. He looks like the.
Unless it's Biden,
No, they're not going to nominate Biden. There's no way.
I mean, he's got a better chance than Jay.
Yes, I, as I've said, I have a better chance than Jay. They're not going to nominate Biden.
I'm not so sure about that.
They're not going to nominate Bernie. They're not going to nominate Jay Inslee. They will not nominate a white man. But no, he looked good. He was kind of in the, who's the Gary Hart?
Yes.
He's kind of cut from the Gary Hart mold.
Yes.
He's got kind of the square jaw.
Kind of Bill Clinton-ish.
A little bit.
Clinton is a nice looking man. Or was. Okay, or is.
No, was. So anyway, he went on The View. And the ladies, man, they should have had a set of those lobster bibs for the ladies on The View because, oh, man. Oh, Jay.
Seriously?
Jay. Well, except for, Meghan McCain wasn't drooling over him.
And Abby Huntsman.
And neither was Abby Huntsman. Mm-hmm. Oh, but the other, Joy Behar?
Pretty much just Joy, actually.
Joy Behar, she would have had his baby right then and there on the set. If she could have. So anyway, one of the things that Jay has been talking about quite consistently is his climate change challenge is very similar to when John F. Kennedy said, "We will put a man on the moon."
Look, I'm a child of the 60s. I remember when John F. Kennedy said, "We're going to the moon in 10 years and bring somebody back." And we went because that spark, that bugle of inspiration united the country to a new mission statement. And I believe this is a new mission statement that is going to grow jobs all over the United States.
So, you know,
that's why I'm running.
Okay. So he says it's going to grow jobs, this new green economy. And Abby Huntsman did sound skeptical about him having a chance.
Do you really want to win, or are you trying to get attention for this one issue? Because it's not just about beating Democrats. You got to beat Trump. Right. And you saw him at CPAC. Whether you agree with him or not, he knows how to get people riled up. He gets headlines. He gets attention. The media is always talking about him. Climate change, that's not the number one issue for many, many people in this country. So how are you going to make waves on that?
Well, I want a lot of things in life, but what I want most in life is to defeat Donald Trump and make him a blip in history.
Okay. You know, he's about to say, here's how I'm going to do this. Inslee versus Trump would be like, what was the biggest blowout ever? Nixon versus Hubert Humphrey. I think that was 49 states to one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure if Humphrey carried Minnesota. Yeah, I mean, Inslee versus Trump would be a rout of epic proportions, but he says that he can do it. And here's how.
Well, we're going to do this. Yeah. Your comment was very interesting. Climate change is an economic growth engine. It is an ability to grow jobs. Today, clean energy jobs in the United States are growing twice as fast as the rest of the U.S. economy. The number one job creation rate today is in solar panel installer. The number two is in wind turbine technology.
Okay, he tried this, you know, line at his nomination speech, or when he announced that he's running a couple of days ago. And we found the stats. A solar panel installer and wind turbine person are the two fastest growing jobs. That's because hardly anybody does those jobs. And so you go from 6,000 to 11,000 people over the next 10 years is what's projected. Well, that's an 87% increase. Yeah, it's also fewer than 1,000 new jobs per year is what's projected. When you start, as one listener said who texted me, if I have three people who are making animals out of their belly button lint, and I can find two more people who do that, that's a 67% increase in belly button lint production to make animals. You can do anything you want with those numbers, but nobody tells Inslee, but you're starting with absurdly low numbers here. And then Trump had a very funny speech at CPAC, and he said, so we're going to wait for the wind to watch our television. And Trump said, so guy's going to have to ask his wife, is the wind blowing outside? Because I want to watch some TV. Well, Inslee, ooh, what a response he had for that.
When Donald Trump said that, you know, we're not going to have toasters and TVs if we have wind power, that's just simply, moronic is the best way I could say it. Because in my state, we now have a $6 billion wind turbine industry. Wow.
And when I turn on The View in the morning, it always comes on. It works really, really well. So he is just such a pessimist and a narrow-minded thinker. He needs to get with the rest of Americans that understand the country that sent a man to the moon can develop a clean energy economy. That's what we can do.
Okay. This is just a flat-out lie because he doesn't watch TV because of our wind power industry in the Pacific Northwest. Wind makes up about 7% of our energy here in Washington State. And I will refer you to a Forbes.com story headlined, Wind Energy of No Use in the Pacific Northwest. And what they have is a graph. And when things are the windiest around here is when traditionally power usage is lower and the spikes for wind energy. And by the way, did you know that they do not count hydroelectric as renewable energy in Washington State?
No.
They do not, because they needed to remove hydroelectric, which is one of the cleanest, and of course it's renewable because it's water coming down rivers, mountain runoff that happens every year. They removed hydroelectric from the list of renewables so they could boost the percentage that wind and solar contribute to our renewable energy grid, because they would be dwarfed. And he said we spend $6 billion on wind. It makes up 7% of our energy. So if we wanted to get to 100%, we'd have to spend $84 billion a year on wind technology to get it up to 100%. And it is subsidized in a far different way. If you put a wind farm on your private property, you get massive government tax breaks over a 3-year period. And so the government just has a huge taxpayer soaking because they're in love with wind as a renewable. But it's absolutely, could it be part, if we wanted to in 20 years, and this Forbes story talks about it, if we want to be one-third carbon, one-third nuclear, one-third renewable, that's a realistic goal. But to in 10 years to get away from, you know, all nuclear, all coal, all carbon, it's pie in the sky fantasy. And the only way that Jay Inslee can pitch it is by going on shows with unbelievably dopey audiences like The View, where they just, he's got a beautiful chin. Ugh, it's disgusting. I have a few other sound bites, so I'll play you a couple
more. Did someone talk about his chin?
Me. It is a beautiful chin. I've been talking about it for 2 days now. It's all I can think about. Okay. Chin is pressed into my forehead, and it's taking him down at basketball. Okay, play some more. Do a little more fact-checking. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Checking out all your comments on the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. Let me know what you think about the Gov. He's in Iowa today. We are paying the chicken to run the state, the lieutenant governor, because he's afraid to do his job because of the state constitution. But we're giving him an extra, Cyrus Habib, an extra $288 a day since Inslee is out of the state. And people have asked, what do you think about, you know, when Trump or Obama or George W., when they would travel during their first term running for re-election? Here's the thing. There's no doubt in my mind that our presidents are doing, you know, 50 to 100 hours of work, even when they're campaigning and barnstorming, because they're working on Air Force One. They've got staffers. You can't escape it. I don't think Inslee is doing anything. Like yesterday, brand new passenger plane terminal opens at Payne Field. One of the first new passenger plane outlets in the country. And Jay Inslee sent his Northwest Regional Director to stand in for him because he's too busy auditioning for another job in other states. And so I don't think for a second that Jay Inslee is putting in anywhere near an eight-hour day as governor when he's out barnstorming. All he's thinking about every second of his time. He did The View yesterday. He did Rachel Maddow. He's got people prepping him for those interviews while he's doing makeup. They're doing test questions. There's no way he's spending any time running the state of Washington. I guarantee you that Trump and Obama and Bush and Clinton, that they were getting in a full 8 hours as president when they're running for re-election. Because that's just a, you know, wake up to go to bed type of job. And the other stuff is a mere distraction. This is everything for Inslee. Okay, I played you a bunch of the Inslee cuts. Let me tie all this together now. So Inslee says climate change is everything. It's the most important thing we're facing. I mentioned at the beginning of the hour how we have these social justice warriors who are teaching our kids that you're going to get shot at school. Not true. School is the safest place statistically for a child to be in America. And yes, there are school shootings, and it has happened, but statistically, it's about the safest way. Much safer than being at home if you're worried about dying. Much safer than driving to or from school on a statistical basis. And then they've got the climate change warriors convincing everybody that the world's going to end. These two women, Blythe and Alice, they are members of a group called Birth Strike. And they have vowed that they're not going to have kids because they're convinced climate change is going to end the planet for us.
There are people out there that are so scared about this that they feel that they can't actually have a family. Our planet is in a kind of collapse. The natural world is collapsing around us, and that's actually happening right now. And I'm so disappointed by the response by our authorities to this crisis. And so freaked out by it, everything that I've read, that I've basically last year I came to the decision that I couldn't bring a child into that.
And you have come to the same conclusion, Alice?
Yeah, I have. I mean, each day for me is a struggle. I'm so depressed, and that has led to just a fear that I've never felt before.
Look at this. So the Inslees of the world, they're making people depressed by peddling their nonsense. You got all these people who can't cope with life. They're turning to alcohol and drugs and suicide. You know what, though? I'm glad they're not procreating, those two. Don't need those genes in the pool. Fast 15 is next.